Hey, teacher friends, I want to make sure that you know about my two children's books from the Caring Critters series, Felipe the Feeling Frog and Trixie the Thoughtful Turtle. These children's books are invaluable tools for teaching social-emotional skills in your classroom. In Felipe the Feeling Frog, kids walk alongside Felipe as he discovers that all feelings are okay, and he learns practical strategies for regulating his emotions. Felipe and his friends in the book help children identify and manage feelings like sadness, happiness, frustration, making emotional learning engaging and relatable. Then there's Trixie the Thoughtful Turtle, where Trixie explores the difference between expected and unexpected choices. Through her journey, children learn how to make thoughtful decisions that positively affect their friends and understand the importance of respectful behavior. Both books feature the charming illustrations of Denise Walker, which bring these important lessons to life in a way that kids can easily connect with. And they're written by me, a kindergarten teacher who understands the social-emotional needs of young students. Enhance your classroom with Felipe the Feeling Frog and Trixie the Thoughtful Turtle, and watch your students thrive in their social-emotional development with the Caring Critters series. Hey, teacher friends, it's Ziba from Kindergarten Cafe. Today, I want to talk about how to organize all the materials and centers that you accumulate and what the best way is to organize them. I get this question a lot of like, okay, I have all these centers, but how do I organize them and make it manageable? So let's dive in. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. I do mine slightly differently for math versus literacy, so I'm going to kind of talk about it first with math and then we'll talk about literacy. Before I start anything, I have tried many different ways to organize materials. I feel like I've finally found a way that works for me, but it might not be the way that works for you, and that's okay. So I think it will help you hearing how I organize my math differently from my literacy, because it'll give you multiple ideas of ways to organize them. And what I want you to do is to try one way and see how it works for a little bit, and then you can always change it if it's not working for you. There's no point in forcing a routine or organization system if it doesn't work, because then you won't stay organized. So we want it to benefit you. So pick a style that works for you. Okay, so how do I organize my math centers? I have math centers organized by unit based on the curriculum. So I take a big 2-gallon size Ziploc bag, and I write unit 1 on the bag. And then I put inside of that bag a 1-gallon bag with the game that I use in that unit. So in that 2-gallon unit 1 bag, I have maybe 8 to 10 1-gallon bags with everything I need for that center. Now, because it's a center, I don't need a whole class set. I need 4 or 5 copies of the game. And you know, that it might just be the game board or something that I'm needing. It might be a visual or a resource that I need, but generally it's just sort of the game, because the other materials I'll get out when I'm putting the station out. So I'll talk about that in just a second. I like having everything organized by unit, because then I can, when I'm starting unit 1, I can grab the unit 1 bag and I can put it near my centers, and then I can go through it when I'm looking for the center and I can pull out the one that I need. Some of the games, for my curriculum anyway, we use over and over again. We'll use it multiple times, but then I'm putting it in multiple bags. I don't want to go searching in Unit 1 when I'm in Unit 3 for the game that they were introduced to in Unit 1. Like, no. If I'm doing it in Unit 1, I have a copy in Unit 1. If I'm doing it in Unit 3, I have a copy in Unit 3. Okay? but I like just being able to grab the bag and then know that everything that I need for that unit is right by all my center's things. Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not always the best at getting the math station set up ahead of time or like before that day. And so then I'm quickly trying to run and find what I need. And it doesn't take very long because it's all in the bag. It says unit one. And then inside the bag, the smaller bags are all labeled with what the game is, so I can easily find what it is I'm looking for. I keep all of these big bags in a cabinet. I used to have them in a bin, but they didn't fit as well in the bins. So I just keep them. I have the space in a cabinet, so I just keep them in the cabinet lined up in order of the units. And like I said, I just grab and go as I need. Now, so let's say I have a game that needs whiteboard markers. So let's say that I have a math game from unit one that needs a whiteboard marker because I didn't say this before. I do like to laminate my games or put them in like whiteboard pouches or something, or even just sheet protectors so that I can use them over and over and over again. I don't want to make a million copies. I don't want to be monitoring the copies at the station. I want the kids to be able to do it over and over again as many times as they want. So that means that they'll need whiteboard markers and erasers, or maybe they need chips and dice. You know, these things are pretty consistent materials to need for the station, or cubes, something like that. I don't put those in a station bag because I am frequently using them. That would take up too much space inside the bag as well. What I do is I have all of my supplies organized and labeled with pictures right by where I keep my centers. And this means that if needed, the kids can get out the materials themselves. They can see them, they can find them. And I encourage that if they're like, hey, there's not enough dice, I need another dice, I'll be like, okay, go get it. You can see where they are, you know where they are, go get it. And that's fostering the independence and responsibility. But I do set up the stations prepared with, unless I miscounted, with the materials that they will need. So I will put in the whiteboard markers and erasers. If they need chips, I will use a little cup and scoop out some chips so that's not too many chips. Most of those like two color, like red and yellow circles, chips. And I just put a couple cups of chips so that way each person that's at the center can grab a cup and have the chips that they need. These cups, by the way, I didn't go buy them. They were yogurt cups, rinsed, cleaned out, and then used. I've also inherited a bunch of like the margarine cups. I think they're margarine. But anyway, you just use like the cups that you have in your recycling and clean them out. There you go. You can have a whole class set in no time. And so I put those in the station bin ready to go. If the kids need dice, I put the dice in the station bin. And my tip for dice, for managing dice, is to give them a tray. So that way that they roll the dice into the tray, it really helps maintain order and it helps prevent the dice from going flying. And also, more importantly, the noise of the dice hitting the table just really is so loud unexpectedly and unnecessarily. It's so loud. So the tray helps muffle that sound. So I personally like it for that reason as well. But also, the dice is not flying everywhere. The kids aren't getting out of their seats to go pick them up. It's just a great strategy. Now that tray, I didn't buy. It is a cleaned out frozen dish container, like one of those Lean Cuisines or something. Those little trays. It's perfect for that. You could also use like takeout containers, but those are a little too big, I think. The like Lean Cuisine ones are the perfect size. So we'll just put a stack of those and the dice that they need in the station bin. And voila, the bin is ready for the kids to grab and go, for them to get started on, for them to be independent with. And so that is how I organize my math centers. So I didn't mention this though. I'll put out 5 centers at a time. I have station 1, station 2, station 3, station 4, station 5, and 1 game or activity per center. And so I'll put out station 1 on table 1. And when it's time to clean up, the kids just put everything back in that bin. And then they match the station 1 bin with the label I have for station 1 back on the shelf so they can find it. And it goes in number order. So super easy for them to be independent and responsible at cleaning that up and setting it up and everything. How often do I change out my math centers is a question I get a lot. And for me, I just kind of do it when I notice the kids getting bored, when I notice the kids getting bored at that station, or when the math curriculum said, do this new center with them, then I change up. I pick a station that I feel like the kids are most bored at, or that the kids are, they stopped going to, and I changed that one out. I don't really have a rhyme or reason. I used to try doing it like every Monday, changing out the math centers, but that's a lot of pressure for me on a Monday to get 5 centers ready to go and teach them all 5 new centers at one time. Like, it's just too much. It's too much for the kids to remember. It was too much for me. So that system did not work for me. I know that some people, like my teammates, don't like to organize their math centers the way that I organize mine, and that's fine. They organize it by game. So like I said, there might be multiple times during the year where kids playing a certain game. And so they put all of their stations in bins labeled with the game. And so then when the, you know, curriculum says introduce to them, toss the chips, you can go to the shelf and look for the bin that says toss the chips. And then they pull out that game and then they're good to go. That's great for them. If that's great for you, that's awesome. It just did not work for my brain. I did not like it. I liked organizing in bags because I can see it vertically versus the bins take up so much space. That's just my opinion. And I like having it all ready to go by unit. So that was my thought process. But again, do what works for you. Okay, so now let's talk about how I organize my literacy centers. And by the way, if you're curious about like how I handle my math centers or how I handle my literacy centers, I do have previous blog posts. So I'll put those resources in the show notes down below. But literacy, I do slightly different. So I do like a word study bin, a vocabulary bin, a drawing bin, and the kids are choosing which ones they want to do. So because of that, I organize my extra materials that I'm not using by skill, because it corresponds to where they are in learning about phonics. Like if they need to work on letter recognition, I have one activity, like I'll have writing the letters with Play-Doh, or I'll do puzzles. Or if they're working on sight words, like they'll have roll and write activities or a sight word board game or a go fish game. And so I also use these materials in small groups or with interventions as needed. So I have them in, shocker, a gallon size bag. I love my Ziploc bags. And I just have it labeled by the skill. So I have all of my letter recognition, you know, games all together in one bag. I have all of my sight word games and activities in one bag. And so when I know that the kids need to work on that, I pull out the bag and I can easily move over the activity to the center bin, or I can easily move it to my small group bin, whatever I need to use it for. And I keep all these like behind my small group table because I will often pull them out for a warm up with a literacy small group, or like I said, for an intervention group. So I just like to have it on hand. I don't like it tucked away. Like I have the math materials that I'm not using tucked away in a cabinet. I like to have these out in the open because kids are in such different spots too, that it's good. You never know what skill you're going to be working on with a group. You want to have access to them all. But so then, like I said, I put the activity that I want them to do in the bin, like the word work bin, the drawing bin, the vocabulary bin. And then the kids that, if they want to work on it, they just pull out that bin and bring it to the table. Or they just get the material that they need and bring that out to the table, because it's can-do kind of situation. They can pick which one they want to do. So because of that, I do put a couple different kinds of activities together. So in the word work bin, I'll have a roll and write activity. I'll have like a puzzle or making the letters or some, or trick words with Play-Doh or Wiki Sticks or something. So I just have using letter tiles, I have a couple of different activities available so they can go through the bin and pick the one that they want. If you listen to the Literacy Center podcast, you'll see that I've had many different types of literacy centers over the years. I've tried many things and finally came up with a system that I really enjoy, that really works for me. So those are how I manage all the materials involved with centers and stations. And I'd love to know from you what you might want to try, what you like to do. Definitely reach out and let me know. You can use the code word organize to send me a message if you want. or just reach out and tell me what it is that you like to do to organize your centers. And thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.